owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. A warrior does not have to see combat to be wounded, and a wounded warrior does not necessarily become damaged goods, whether the wounds are physical, emotional, or spiritual. There's a summit in the Rocky Mountains. It's the highest point in the state of Colorado and the second highest summit in the contiguous United States. Mount Elbert's elevation is 14,440 feet, and the summit is often snow-capped even in the summer. On September 15th, four severely injured veterans are planning on hiking to the peak of Mount Elbert. Despite pain and adversity, they're doing it to inspire other veterans to overcome their physical and psychological scars. One of them is joining us on American Warrior Radio today. Welcome to American Warrior Radio, Army veteran Shannon Von Driska.
Hi, thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
Shannon, I'm thrilled to death. I'm so glad that Challenge America reached out to us and introduced us. And we're going to make this part of your mission here, Shannon, to inspire folks and help them reach out. Because I tell you, your story is a very powerful one.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm honored to be here and sharing with everyone.
Well, so right off the bat, how in the heck did you get talked into this? Not the radio show, the hike.
Yeah, so I am part of a online support group for CRPS, or Chronic Regional Pain Syndrome, which was a disease that I got after my last surgery, which was due to a military training accident. But anyway, so in this group, there was a man named Asaf Dori, and he reached out to me and said, "Hey, I have this crazy idea." And Asaf is an amputee. He's a vet. He was a sheriff deputy. And he also has CRPS. And he's like, "Look, we're going to go climb this mountain." And within a few seconds, I said, "Absolutely. Of course we are." So it kind of just snowballed from there. And then with the help of Challenge America, we've been able to make our dreams come true, kind of. Yeah.
So there's three, and I want to talk more about your story, Shannon, because again, it's a very powerful one that brought you to us and is motivating you to do this. And it just even frankly amazes me that you're even taking on this challenge. I'm glad you are, and I back you 100%. But the logistics of this, so this is a pretty darn tall mountain. There are three main routes to ascend the mountain. Which one is your team taking, and what kind of an elevation climb is that, and what will be the distance of that from start to finish? You know, one way, I guess.
So from start to finish, we're looking at between 10 and 12 miles. However, as far as the trails go, we have been doing some scouting out. So ultimately, we're working with a company called Aspen Alpine Guides, and they are going to help us kind of determine what the best route would be for us for success.
And is the selection of this time of year, I assume that's important? You're not going to do it in January, obviously.
Yeah, so September, I believe, you know, we were thinking about just what the weather was going to be like and hoping, you know, kind of for that fall lull before the snow comes. And fingers crossed, because I had heard that last year's snow came on September 7th. So we are just hoping to make it up there. But we did want to do something around the time of the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So we weren't able to actually go up on 9/11. So we are going up on the 15th.
Now, looking at photos of this, Shannon, it looks like some of this is wooded, but then particularly, I guess, if you get up above the tree line, it's pretty pretty barren on up to the top.
Yeah, so we did a training hike called Lost Man Trail, and it is kind of that experience. So I'm from Wisconsin, so this is all really quite new to me as well, and I'm probably not the mountain expert that I should be at this point, but yeah, it's pretty wooded and it's stunning. And then all of a sudden you get up above tree line and you look out, and we were at 12,000 feet for this training hike, and it's just mind-blowing, the views and everything that you can see, and it just truly takes your breath away.
So we have an affiliate in Colorado and Colorado Springs, but we've got listeners around the country. So for folks who are familiar with Colorado, what would be the nearest town they would recognize? Would it be Leadville or?
Actually, I would say Aspen. There is a town called Twin Lakes. But I would say Aspen is probably the closest well-known city.
Okay. Let's introduce our listeners a little bit more to Shannon herself. You joined the Army hoping to be a medic. There's a little bit of irony in that, perhaps. But you were doing a ruck march, and as I understand it, it was at night, and you took a little bit of a tumble. Take the story from there, Shannon.
Yeah, I did. So we were up on cliffs in South Carolina or the mountains out there, and when you're doing the training, you make it as realistic as possible so that we can be prepared for any situation we may be put in. And so instead of using flashlights or anything, we had glow sticks. We were in full battle rattle, which means our Kevlar. I had BCGs. They're known as the battle glasses. And they are kind of like that nostalgic look for glasses when you look at that. Anyway, so I tripped and fell. And I just kind of remember just going down. I didn't really know what happened. I had about 50 pounds worth of gear on me. And I knew I busted my leg somehow. I knew it was really bad. And I got up and I kind of took a break for a second. And I was realizing, like, if I didn't finish this climb with my team, then I would have to start over with another team in about like 13 weeks or so. And I was like, that's not an option. So I continued because I wanted to graduate with my platoon. And so I continued on my leg for another 10 miles. And at the end of the 10 miles, my leg was swollen all the way up to my knee and black and blue already. And they had taken me to the field medic clinic, but there's limited resources there. So I was kind of just given crutches, some ibuprofen, drank some water, and just kind of carried on. But as time went on, the injury really took hold of my leg and changed ultimately the rest of my life.
You know, I chuckle a little bit because talking to other veterans, there's sort of this joke in the military that allegedly ibuprofen cures all ills. Take a handful of this and you'll be okay. So you finished this hike on a broken 10 miles on a broken leg with your full pack?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
It's kind of back. So I'm kind of channeling that inner Shannon, I guess you could say. That's how I know I can make it up this mountain, that nothing is going to stop me. So I'm ready for it.
What, at some point though, somebody, you, some doctors, some medics somewhere, I mean, had to say, okay, this needs to be fixed. But that also puts you on a path of kind of a frustrating path as well, didn't it?
Yeah, sometimes medical care isn't the easiest to get when you're in the military. You need to ask your squad leader, which is kind of a leader within your platoon or your unit, and then they have to ask somebody else or request permission for you to go to sick call, which is you waking up early and going into like a clinic. And it's not the best way to get care. And since it's ultimately somebody else's decision if they're going to let you go or not. And it just became kind of a long, drawn out thing. And I knew my ankle hurt and I kept telling them, you know, like there's something wrong. And they're like, well, it was a bad sprain. And then at the end, when I got out, I had my military orthopedic surgeon do surgery, and he pulled out a piece of bone that was like over 1 inch in diameter and a whole bunch of other little pieces. And he said everything inside was dead and I would need extensive rebuilding. But he also apologized to me for not having gotten me in sooner. So.
Well, thanks. You know, thanks for nothing, Doc.
Yeah, thanks. Like I can't really speak for what the culture is now. Maybe some of that has changed and everything. But when I was in 07, that was definitely how things were rolling.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Shannon Von Driska. Shannon is going to be one of a team of four that are going to climb the highest peak in Colorado to raise awareness about the issues, suicide, a lot of the issues that our veterans are dealing with. We'll be talking more with her when we come back. Listen, you know, I've been raving about Boss Custom Coins. I was out at the base this week. I had my first opportunity to give a challenge coin to one of the members of our military, and I was thrilled to death. The process was easy. I chose the basic parameters from multiple options at BossCoins.com at their website. Their artists helped me finalize the design. I had them in my pocket only 2 weeks later. If you're thinking about getting your own challenge coin or need to reorder your current one, please consider my friends at BossCoins.com, and I'll even sweeten the deal. Send me an email, bbg@AmericanWarriorRadio.com. I'll personally introduce you to one of the bosses at Boss Custom Coins, who will give you a special American Warrior Radio listener discount. I love our new coins. You'll love your Boss Custom Coin, too. Get started at BossCoins.com. Don't forget to shoot me an email, bbg@AmericanWarriorRadio.com, to get your special discount. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia. I'm chatting with Shannon Von Driska. Shannon is part of a team of four physically and maybe a little bit emotionally scarred veterans who are going to do something to help other veterans. They're going to climb the second highest peak in the contiguous United States coming up here on September 15th. You can learn more, visit challengeamerica.com. Shannon, back to you. I tell you, when we're doing the pre-interview, it just broke my heart. This, the CRPS. Now I looked it up, and I see something called complex regional pain syndrome, but you used a different phrase. Is it the same thing?
Yeah, that's the exact same thing. It's also commonly known as the suicide disease, unfortunately, as well. It's a rare disease, and it tends to come on after an injury or a surgery of some kind, and your body just kind of breaks. It's unable to respond correctly to what's going on. So it impacts your central nervous system, and it really kind of takes over. The biggest issue with it, of why it's called a suicide disease, is just the incredible amounts of pain that you are trying to live with and navigate every single day.
You know, Shannon, I looked at your, I'm following you on Instagram, and one of the photos there was a calendar where you had color-coded your pain levels on a day-to-day basis. And it just, yep. I mean, just looking at that breaks my heart. And I just, I can't imagine. I know a lot of us out there, you know, we might be having a rough day, and people hear your story. It's like, hey, you've got no idea about that. But I guess the quote that I think I saw in there that broke my heart the most, Shannon, was you said, one day I got sick and I never got better.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly. Like I never saw it coming. The surgery that kind of broke the camel's back was one that was supposed to be routine and simple and was supposed to be my easiest surgery. And it just, I knew something was wrong when it was over.
Looking at investigating this, the CRPS myself, it does seem almost, I mean, clearly it's generally tied to some sort of an injury, but the onset of CRPS seems almost random.
It really does. That's part of the problem as far as having it be understood. You know, the mechanism isn't understood. You don't get to know why. You don't get to know really how it's working inside your body, which makes it very difficult to get treatment. It makes it very hard to even get a diagnosis because it is so rare and so random. So, yeah, it puts patients and sufferers in a really difficult spot.
And I get the sense also, Shannon, and from I've got some personal experience in my family where the frustration of going to a doctor and saying, look, I hurt. I don't know why. And the doctors, because they don't recognize this, your battle to get a proper diagnosis and then treatment, you know, so often people think, oh, it's, you know, particularly with the opioid crisis, if you want to call that across the country, it's, oh, they're just, you know, they're doctor shopping or they're a pill hunter and they just, you know, Shannon's an addict and just, you know, pat her on the head and send her home. And that has to be a very frustrating situation for you and some of your fellow CRPS sufferers as well, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. And I definitely struggle with the pain management at the VA hospital. I'm very thankful for all of my benefits. However, the VA had gotten in trouble for overprescribing opioids some years back. And ever since then, they've modified their pain management program. And for me to even get a very small dosage of an opiate, I have to go through and sign almost a 30-page contract. I have to agree to randomized drug tests. I have to kind of call and basically beg for my prescription about every 3 or 4 months and say, like, hey, I'm still having pain, you know, like this isn't going away. And it's frustrating because, I mean, just that entire process. And then, as you said, you know, being treated as if I'm hunting for pills when really, like, I'm hunting for relief. And I expressed to my doctor, you know, like, it makes complete sense to me why so many veterans are so tired of fighting. And so they go outside of it and they look to alcohol or drugs or, you know, or they get addicted to pills in other ways. And it really is kind of a tragedy of this consequence of what, you know, has happened within the VA system.
You know, I've talked to people in the law enforcement community along sort of on this topic a little bit as well, Shannon, and I don't know how true this is, but it's shocking that, you know, they say in most communities it's easier to get heroin than it is to get your prescription pain pills.
Yeah,
I can't help but think that that's contributing to the, and I can see why they call it the suicide disease, because it's, I mean, the strength it takes just to be, and frankly, it's got to be scary, because to the best of my knowledge, Shannon, there's no cure at present. It just has to be managed.
Yep, correct. There is no cure. It's so hard too, because each physician kind of approaches it differently. And, you know, I have other CRPS friends that live across the country, and we're all kind of allowed different treatments or not allowed some treatments. And there's no like universal, like, hey, you have this disease and this is the medication that they use for it. There's none of that. And so it's a lot of trial and error for a long time. For the first 2 years after my surgery, I was in bed, basically. And it really, really took a toll on my personal life. I am a mom. I have 2 boys. Totally changed their life. Thankfully, I have my mom for support, and so many other CRPS sufferers don't. So they're stuck in bed, and they don't have any help. It impacts your personal relationships as far as, like, I was engaged, and you know, it just took its toll, where it was just something that, like, him as a caregiver, it's painful, you know, it's difficult, and it would have changed his life in entirely different ways. And so, you know, we've since split, and I don't have any anger or hostility around that, because I get it. Like, I don't want to deal with this either. And it's a lot.
I don't get. And God bless you, Shannon, because I don't think I could do that. I mean, the amount of anger that I would have inside, anger at the mountain, you know, for tripping me up, mm-hmm. anger at the doctors, anger for lots of reasons, anger that I might have friends who just don't get it, and they say, hey, let's go out, you know, let's go bowling, or let's go out and have, you know, a drink or something, and they don't get the fact that Shannon's got to say, I can't do it. And then that additional psychological toll, where they start to maybe leave you a little behind.
Definitely. All of those things are definitely something I felt. The anger is something that is very real. It's scary because it's not part of my character to be so angry and resentful all the time. But I'm learning slowly to accept that this is kind of what's going on, and I may not like it, but it is what it is, and I just got to, you know, do my best to get through. But that anger is something Asaf and I had talked about. He is my team member that also has CRPS. You know, that the pain that we're going to feel going up the mountain is also kind of going to be the fuel of, like, we're doing this despite you, despite the pain, despite all of it, despite the entire struggle.
What do you have a sense, Shannon, how many people across the United States suffer from CRPS? Any ballpark figure?
I believe the current statistics are, like, it's less than 100,000. I believe that it might be more than that, but a lot of people go undiagnosed because their physicians don't know what it is. I mean, I went to the emergency room multiple times, and they say, I'm sorry, I don't know how to help you. I don't know what to give you. I don't know how to treat you anymore. And, you know, when you're laying there in excruciating pain and finally decided to go ask for help, and someone's like, you know, it's above my pay grade. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's devastating. It's devastating.
I've had a number of organizations on that help veterans with PTSD, and they always talk about the fruit salad. And you see these images of literally this bowl just full of all these medications that they expect these veterans to take. And thankfully now mm-hmm. we're seeing some alternative therapies that are causing a break from that. But one of the other photos on your Instagram page that just broke my heart but communicated it, I think you were getting ready to go on a trip and you had a photo of all the prescription pills that you had to mm-hmm. take with you and the whole challenge of, but you don't look sick.
Exactly.
And how people judge.
Mm-hmm. They definitely do. And I think, you know, it's fair. I think it's part of human nature to have that curiosity, like, what's going on with her? You know, why does she have, like, I think in that picture, I didn't even have all of my meds in that case, but it comes to about 20 and a lot of them I have to take, you know, multiple times a day. And, it's like this curiosity. There's also a judgment, though. Like, I get a lot of, well, it's probably your pills that are messing you up, and it's probably, you know, like if you weren't on so many medications, then you wouldn't have that problem. Or, you know, people will tell me, like, I don't like to take medication. Have you tried yoga? Have you tried essential mm-hmm. oils? And it's so frustrating because I don't like taking these pills either. I would prefer to never swallow another pill again, but I can't have any quality of life unless I have my medication.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Shannon Von Driska. As if the physical pain wasn't enough, I've got to tell you, you're going to hear more from this very, very courageous woman. There's also some psychological scars she'll be carrying with her up that mountain. More about that when we come back. Stick around. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're chatting with Shannon Von Driska. Shannon is an Army veteran and is taking on just a monumental challenge coming up on September 15th, if I'm not mistaken, Shannon. They'll be climbing the second highest peak in the United States, the contiguous United States. Shannon, the Challenge America folks can learn more. They visit challengeamerica.com. They've got some very interesting and kind of diverse programs that I find fascinating. They've got a music therapy component. They've got a very cool program called CAM Vets, Challenge America Makers for Veterans. And if I understand that correctly, basically they get these vets together and say, look, I've got this problem. And one of them, for example, was a vet who was injured, had his leg amputated, and he couldn't ride a motorcycle anymore. So he gets in a room with all these engineers and techno nerds, and they basically design a way for him to ride the motorcycle again. It's a very, very cool program. But one of the other ones is something called the Military Sisterhood Initiative. It's designed by military women to connect and empower every military sister. And I say that because that the next part of your story, Shannon, is something I got to say I feel absolutely completely uncomfortable talking about, but it needs to be shared. So I hope you'll help us with this. There's other psychological scars that you carry, as if the CRPS wasn't enough. You're also a victim of military sexual trauma.
Yes. Yep. You know, Challenge America has been amazing with all their programs and their different outlets and everything. And when they told me about the Military Sisterhood Initiative and asked me to write a piece about my story and my experience with it, at first, you know, I was all gung-ho, like, of course I want to do this, and my heart is still there. One of the things that I didn't necessarily bargain for was all the different feelings and all the different things that would come back up. And in a way, I'm glad it did, though. I really need to go back and kind of visit this topic and share it and put it out there. So military sexual trauma is a term that the military uses for soldiers that have experienced any type of sexual assault. Sometimes they include sexual harassment in that. The statistics are currently that one out of every three women experiences some sort of sexual trauma in the military. I was one of those. And, you know, it's something that it still haunts me. And it did cause PTSD, which encompasses nightmares. It encompasses, you know, difficulty in relationships, depression, anxiety, so many different things. And coming out and needing to ask for help for that from the military has also been quite an experience as well.
Yeah, it's safe to say, Shannon, that, and I know that from the leadership up down that they're taking this more seriously. And I mean, yeah, I mean, 30%, one in three, 33%. I don't do math in public. That's a huge number of women, and one in 50 men in the military have also experienced this. So I'm glad they're getting on it, but it sounds like there's still a long ways to go.
Yeah, again, I can't really speak to what the culture is now and how things are happening, but I know, especially when I was in 07 and 08, you know, it was kind of the heat of Iraq. Things were always really moving fast. We're always short on soldiers. And things like this tend to get steamrolled and forgotten about. And it takes a lot for a veteran or a soldier to come forward and say, hey, you know, this happened. It's scary because typically it's from someone that's higher ranking. Mm-hmm. And so there's a fear that you will have a consequence in that. There's also still kind of this old boys club type culture where they're very protective of each other. It has to go through so many different ranks if you report it. And then someone way above you that you've never met needs to decide what is going to be done about it, if anything. The majority of these rapes and assaults are not ever prosecuted or really even investigated.
Well, Shannon, I find it very courageous of you that you're willing to step up and be an advocate. And like I said, I feel uncomfortable even bringing it up on the air. I'm glad, but we have to talk about it. I mean, it has to. So what other than the Military Sisterhood Initiative from ChallengeAmerica.com, that's been very helpful. But what are some of the other resources that you found helped you come to grips with this or the forums that you're now using to reach out to other victims to help them?
Yeah, so I was also blessed by Challenge America. I talk about them a lot because when I was in bed for 2 years, I really thought the best years of my life were behind me. And, you know, after losing so many people I love and having this huge change, I just was at my bottom, truly. I had attempted suicide, and I just was overwhelmed, to say the very least. But anyway, I was enrolled in a program with them for music therapy, and they decided to do a test run where they had all female vets in it. And I was shocked. I was put in a small group, and 3 out of 4 of us had some sort of sexual trauma from our days in service. And we didn't necessarily even have to go into details, but there was sort of this comfort that it was like, you get it, you know? So putting yourself, finding someone that understands you, that won't judge you, that's not necessarily like in your personal circle, is a great, it's an incredible asset to have that. So connecting with these women, and then also I've been in therapy at the VA for a very long time. I have noticed an incredible change there with their mental health programs and support. It still lacks a little bit in the military sexual trauma aspect because there's typically only one person in charge of that area at the VA. So it can get really complicated. And to be honest, you know, I can't say that I'm doing better. Mm-hmm. But there's still times when it surprises you and it comes out like all of a sudden I have a dream out of nowhere and I'm right back in that situation. And then you wake up like panicked and you're kind of just panicked all day. You're always on edge. You're always looking around, seeing who's doing what and where people's hands are and just all these sort of different things. The hypervigilance just, gosh, it just wears you out. And, you know, for those things, again, having my kids, they're the reason I keep fighting every single day. And then having the support of my mom and the rest of my family, you know, they're just patient with me. And I think that's really the only message that I can put out there is if you're loving someone with PTSD, just try to be patient. I know it's hard, but it's really hard for that person.
Shannon, would you say, in my interpretation here is you're slaying 2 dragons on this hike. One's a physical one, and one's a psychological one. Is the parallel there though, that there's really no cure yet for CRPS, and to some extent with the psychological scars from sexual trauma, there's really never a where you close that door once and for all, I'm guessing?
You know, I would love to say yes,
yeah.
You know, that I'm putting it behind me, but that's not the case. And over the years, I have lost so many of my friends who are in the military to suicide, or I've seen them attempt suicide and, you know, try to survive that. I've seen them go missing, and I've helped, you know, the police find them. I've been in situations where I've talked people out, and when they were in the exact moment of trying. And, you know, I think the thing that is to say that I could close the door on it, I can't, because it's not just me that I'm carrying all this. I'm carrying all of them. I'm carrying as far as my fellow CRPS sufferers, I'm carrying them and all of their hearts with me. And then for everybody that I lost to suicide, for anybody that's currently struggling and just doesn't know what to do when they're at the bottom, you know, I'm carrying them with me too. And I can't even, you know, meet all these people, but they're with me and they're my fuel. And I want them to know like they're loved and they matter.
Shannon, we come back. I want to talk about the challenge that you're taking on. And I know I get a sense that this challenge you've got before you is also very cathartic in many ways. Ladies and gentlemen, Shannon, you heard it right there. Let me just re-quote this. This mission is too important for me to fail. For all of those that I lost, for all of those that are hurting, for all of those that are fighting, I carry you with me always. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Shannon Von Driska. Shannon and three other team members are going to take on literally a mountain. And I've heard Shannon say, we want to move mountains, not just climb mountains. On September 15th, they will be climbing to the summit of Mount Elbert in Colorado. It's the second highest peak in the contiguous United States. Quite the challenge. Something I... Shannon, I'm getting tired just thinking about it. Much less what you and your... So let's talk about the other team members. Asaf Dori, he is the guy whose crazy idea this was. First of all, he's a veteran of the Israeli Defense Forces. He came to the United States. He was a deputy sheriff, I think it was down in Florida, and injured in the line of duty and lost a leg. He's an amputee as well, and he also suffers from a CRPS like you do.
Yep, absolutely.
Dash Wong, a name out of a movie, Navy SEAL. He's a lung cancer survivor. They had to take one lung to help get him past that, but he recently contracted COVID, 40% scar tissue on that one lung, and he's now also climbing up to 14,000 feet. Good for him. And then Steve, is it Foshan, Shannon?
Steve Foshan.
He's an Army reservist, but he's also a triathlete, a competitive strongman, and he hurt himself somehow, but he's also not in the ideal physical shape to be doing this climb.
Yep, he just had surgery done on both of his knees. His quads, when he was lifting, kind of separated from the tendons at his knee. So it was a really serious injury that he is working on recovering from still.
And the four of you, I think Asaf and Steve first came up with this idea, and then they recruited you and Dash to come along, or how did that work?
Yeah, it was Asaf first and foremost, and when he gets an idea in his head, he makes it happen. And he has been good friends with Steve Foshan, who also helped him do they call him differently abled strongman athletes, and so he trained Asaf, and so they connected, and then Dash has always been a good friend of Asaf as well, too, so those three kind of were first, and then Asaf went out on a limb and invited me, and I said yes, so here I am climbing a mountain with three dudes I met on the internet.
I tell you, it makes me think of, we had a prior guest on, one of the first quadruple amputees to survive the war, and he always says, I'm not a disabled veteran, I'm a recalibrated warrior. I'm not a wounded warrior. I'm a recalibrated warrior, and I like to think of that when I think of you guys. So just so the goal is to raise $118,000. You're about halfway to that goal. And, folks, you can visit challengeamerica.com, look up the Mount Elbert Challenge, or you can also go directly to mountelbert.fundraise.org. That's mtelbert.fundraise.org/ to kick in. Where do these funds go, Shannon?
The funds go to Challenge America. I am very proud to be helping them to raise funds as they take such a minimal amount to run their operation. So the majority of every single dollar is truly used for programming, and their programs I can speak to are incredible. And it's nice to have a different way to approach therapies and rehabilitation and you know, something different and something that really works and something that helps.
How important, well, let me just the logistics again, because I'm having my trouble. I mean, 10 miles round trip. I see in some of your photos you're training, you're using I think it's called a high altitude mask.
Yep.
Explain to those of us who are in flatter lands what that means.
Yes. So I am also from the flatlands, and, you know, there was some big concern about whether I could get my cardiac system ready to climb up to 14,000 some feet when, you know, I am from here and I haven't been acclimated as long as the other team members. So I kind of started doing some research, and I came across these masks that mimic that high altitude air, so that where the oxygen is depleted. And so I try to wear that mask every day, if I'm cleaning, or I try to use it on my hikes for training and everything like that, and my walks and everything. So that mask has been an imperative part of my training journey.
Is this something that you're going to complete in a day, or do you camp midway? Or
we are going to climb up part of the way and then camp for the night, wake up before the crack of dawn and get going in the dark and just keep trekking up so we can hit summit.
What? And I assume there'll be other team members or like a support, you know, kind of like with the bicycle races, they've got the trailing vehicle, other support folks that will be with you, just because, I mean, again, if folks, you know, visit, look at the photos. I mean, two of you are walking with crutches.
Yep.
You know, Dash has only got one lung. I don't know what Steve's story is, but this is not, and it is not a paved trail. There's not, you can't pull over to a Quickie Mart and grab a, you know, a Gatorade when you need it.
Asaf and I have been very blessed. One of our donors purposely bought us new tips for our crutches. So at first when we were training, our crutches were sliding on the soft dirt that's there, and we have to put so much of our weight. Asaf particularly has to put almost all of his weight onto his crutches, and so them slipping was not an option. So they made us these special tips that kind of dig in and claw down, and with those we've been able to kind of navigate the different, you know, paths and everything like that. And so that's a lot goes into just being able to use our crutches to get up and down a mountain. We do have support teams and medical teams as well. Asaf's CRPS team out of Denver is going to be there, so his surgeons and his treatments and everything like that are going to be right there for us, which is incredible.
That's outstanding. So, folks, you can learn more, visit challengeamerica.com. Shannon, we're down to just a couple minutes. Can you tell us a little bit more about some of their other programs? I didn't mean to give them short shrift. I love the music therapy program, the CAM Vets. That thing fascinates me. I mean, we're literally taking someone with an issue and we're sitting the engineers down and bang, bang, resolved. And as I understand it, many of these and products, if you will, are now being put out on the market to help other people. And, of course, the Military Sisterhood Initiative. Are there any I missed?
Nope, those are all of them. I can say, you know, they work a lot for the outdoor programs. They believe in kind of the power of getting outdoors and being able to do that, and that's why they want to help vets finding equipment or the funds that they need, so that way these adaptive pieces of equipment can help us snowboard again or help us ride motorcycles, or for us it's to crutch up the mountain and just different things like that. And it's really, really incredible what they do. I also appreciate their focus on art and music. as a tool, you know, I was very skeptical at first. I'm like, yeah, how is music therapy really going to help my PTSD brain? And it did. It really did. And just the techniques, and we got everyone was issued a free guitar and taught different things, and we were able to write a song. And with a professional songwriter, it just blows me away how many different things that they offer. And speaking with the other vets who have gone through the programs and seeing how Challenge America has impacted their life, it's incredible. Like, they're not just looking for that billboard guy. They're really reaching to find the people that really need help.
Shannon, is it safe to say that this, just the fact that this challenge is coming up for you, has carried you through some rough times? And if that's true, then what's next on your list? Is it a taller mountain?
We have been talking about that. There's been some people that have reached out and told us about, you know, their mountains they want us to climb. I see a lot more travel and different projects and everything in our future. As far as what's right after that, I have no idea. Honestly, I am just trying to, like, focus on the mountain right now, and it absolutely has brought me through some of the most, you know, hardest things I've navigated in the last couple of years. So it's just a true blessing.
So I encourage folks to visit challengeamerica.com and make a donation. Like I said, folks are about halfway to their 118,000 goal. Let's help push them over the top. Can folks log on to the interweb somewhere and follow your progress, Shannon?
Yeah, absolutely. Instagram is where I'm probably most active as far as discussing my CRPS journey. And my handle is just UpArmor, UpArmor. Also, I am public on Facebook.
Wonderful. Shannon, thank you so much for your courage and what you're doing to help other veterans out there. Ladies and gentlemen, what a great story. You can share this. Find this and other podcasts at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. You can find this podcast on all the major carriers. Please listen and share. Until next time, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.